Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. All right. We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. How you guys doing? As always, I am joined with my brother, my co-host, Mr. Jake Bushnell. Hello. And today, we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Mr. Red Page from Poor Man's Change. Red, how are you, brother?
Good. Thank you for having me on, my friend.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your day and blessing us with your presence.
Oh, man. This is a really great experience and stoked to be here.
Nice. How are things with you? What's up with Poor Man's Change? Anything cool happening?
Yeah, man. Just getting ready to release a new album coming up in summer. Creating some cool new sounds. In the meantime, looking for great shows to share our music with all the good folks and just keep doing the thing.
Right. I mean, that's the idea with the band, you know. Hope putting out what you think's good and hoping people enjoy it. You know, that's all you can do.
That's all it is. You never know.
You know how many times I've written a song and been like, this is great, and I show the guys in my band, and they're like, this is fucking garbage, and you're like, oh.
You thought this was great?
Like, yeah. It happens more than not.
Right.
So.
How'd you guys meet? I just met Red today, but Duddy, you guys have a little bit of a history.
Yeah. For those who don't know Red, you know, I met Red a couple years back, 4 years ago or so, a good friend of mine, Dean. We were starting to work together, started this company called Cutlass Brand, and right. I started, you know, going out to Newport Beach, I believe it was, and yeah, it was, where Cutlass actually already had like a little, you know, they had a little shop out there, so I would go out there, and I started rapping with Dean about how I can jump in with this, and we could start working together, and Red would be there, you know, in the back working on the computer, and
learning the ropes. Dude.
Yeah, learning the ropes, you know, doing the thing, and you know, he's been, you know, along with us on the ride, the Cutlass ride, the whole time. He's designed many of the cool designs for Cutlass for us. He does the Bloody Duddy every year. For those of you who, you know, follow me and follow the Cutlass, you probably know what the Bloody Duddy is.
Yeah.
And Red does that one.
And thanks for everyone who's rocking those shirts. I've seen them out at festivals, and it's really cool to see the artwork, you know, on the shirts and people wearing them and enjoying them.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's without doubt our best-selling shirt and fan favorite shirt every year. People look forward to it.
It's this cool series that, you know, you kind of came up with. The idea was like every Halloween, where, you know, we want to kind of come up with something new and to be able to share with people. So it just went off with a hit, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome. And every year that you make the design right, when we post it, people just freak out, and it's awesome.
What's funny that I never even thought about this, but obviously you're a musician. You hope people are listening to your music. Every once in a while you might pull up next to a car and hear, oh, they're listening to my band, if you're big enough. That's kind of crazy that as an artist, I never thought about that. You're sitting at a festival and you're just seeing your design on the backs of all these people walking by. That's got to be kind of awesome.
It's a small blessing.
Dude, that's amazing.
Like, you see it, it's just exactly like you say, man. You have that feeling, you're like, whoa, you know, there's time put in to create that. there was these ideas behind it, and then to see it come to life, and you know, people walking around with it, you're like, right on, man.
That's amazing.
You know, like, there's pride that goes into that. You know, you're very thankful that people want to
for sure
buy that design or be a part of that. You know, and Cutlass is a great, great brand altogether, lifestyle wise, and you know, we try to come with the best designs as possible. You know, and I think it's a great collaborative movement of ideas that happen mm-hmm. there that are just. You know, it's cool to be able to share, for sure.
That's crazy.
Definitely. I mean, it's been a fun project, and yeah, and I always look forward to seeing the designs you send over. On the talk of you, you know, seeing people at the shows and stuff, you know, wearing the designs that you came up with, Red, also, every time, you know, the Dirty Heads are playing at a festival and Cutlass has a booth there, Red goes out there and runs the booth for, like, 3 days, you know, and... That's gotta be crazy because it's like obviously I've been to these festivals, but when I go, I play one show one night,
right?
And I fucking and I'm not there the other days, and I'm there usually for a couple hours. You're there for 3 days, and Dude. Not only there, like right in the thick of it, like right. like you've gotta probably meet some pretty interesting people.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's definitely a gathering of like really, you know, creative people, artsy people, music lovers in general. You know, and. Being there at the booth is just like ground zero, man. You know, we not only get your fans, obviously, from your music. We get Cutlass fans that are just have been introduced to the brand without the music. And then you get the connection between the two as well, you know. And it's like
totally. You
get all these great personalities. And I think one of the coolest things is like that when we're there, you know you're going to see people that you've seen 2-3 festivals ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, when we were at this Long Beach, last Long Beach show, right, dude? So we're there hanging out, and it's like, I ran into a few people who had come to the booth, and it's like, whoa, dude, I haven't seen you since Cali Roots. And we're like, well, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and you go like, that's wow.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
For somehow, like, you know, you made that connection 2 years ago, and then you see some, you know, mm-hmm. you see them later, and you're like, whoa, dude. Great to see you. And they're wearing the new stuff. They're up to date. They're,
yeah.
you know, they're excited to see what's next, what's new. And, yeah, man, it's really cool.
No, it's cool, sense. Yeah. Cool. We always what actually.
You.
Oh, okay. Jake doesn't even know how to mute his
That's
phone.
My agent. Big things coming. All right, guys. Can you take it from here? I gotta take this. Oh, man.
That's a serious heavy. Ringtone, my man.
You know what? I keep it creepy 24 hours a day. Speaking of creepy, so I worked the merch booth not only for my band when I was on tour, but I worked the merch booth for the Dirty Heads for a while. And here's the deal that a lot of people might not think about the merch guy. Sometimes you are the, like, tangible piece of the band that people can reach out and touch. It's
right,
like, I'm
yep.
not meeting the band, but I'm at the merch. I know
close.
The merch guy.
The gatekeeper.
And
you're right there.
I almost know that there's some straight lurkers, dude. Because I remember there's people that come to the, they're just lurking around the merch booth and they're staring and they're praying that the band guy will come out. Oh, man, it's not, I mean, most people are great, obviously, but dude.
There's definitely a few. You get the zombies where they've just had a full day of festival and they know where like Duddy might be.
Yep.
They're like, they'll just come over and kind of cruise. And you're like, oh man, I've kind of seen you around here a couple times. You're doing some hot laps, you know?
Dude.
It's interesting, man. It's cool to see. Because on the flip laps. Note, you know, you get these really vibrant people, man, that are super stoked. And, you know, it's you get a mix of everything. You're in a place where there's so many people and so many different personalities, and it's really cool to experience all that, you know, for 3 days. You're like,
whoa.
I mean, and you get to hear music for 3 days, some really great music. Dude. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thanks, boss.
No. I could imagine that it has its ups and its downs, but I mean this in the best way possible. But I feel like you get to do – at one of the best places ever to do this, one of my favorite pastimes, and is just people watch.
Yeah. Oh, the best.
100%.
I could do it all day, every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, you know, You're just sitting there checking out the scenery, man.
And just judging.
And it's the wildlife. Oh,
there's nothing right. better than when there's another merch booth set up next to you and that merch guy's awesome or girl. Because then you got a judging partner.
Sometimes, you got a panel.
Sometimes the merch booth is where it's at.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a good crew of merch people, it's like, dude, you're partying every night. It's fun.
Absolutely.
You know? We play this game sometimes called My Team. And if we're just sitting there, like, people watching, and you see someone pretty, you say,
this.
My team.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then everyone looks up, and they find who you're talking about. And they go, damn. Well, I wanted him on my team.
Should have been scouting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we've set up with, like, next to the Law Records guys. Which, you see those guys and you're like, what's up, man? Yeah. Again, there's like the community that start to be built from just continuous shows, you know, and you're seeing people, man, it's just all day, 3 days, man, 4 days sometimes. Well, it's like 4 days. Plus the pregame that we got to have to pack the boxes, put things together, make it quick, you know, so, you know, people are stoked on transactions and, it's really cool, man.
And then what happens at every time it seems to us is
fucking rain.
You guys get this call in the middle of the night. Hey guys, it's pouring rain out. You might want to get down here. All your shit's getting wet.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Bunch of wet cardboard boxes. Dude, perfect.
I think that's happened like almost every time.
I think it's
just one rainy day and then it's soggy. The tent just stays, you know, soggy. It's like it's a waterbed for 3 days, dude, or two, like mixed two.
Just shining a light on the merch guys. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to the merch guys. You know right? The guys that are out there.
That's a hard job, though. Check
that
it out,
is
though.
A job.
Yeah.
I will throw this out for merch guys, man. They are working all day, every day. Like when you're on the road, they are like it's a hard job.
And then the number crunch.
They're not done when all the labor, the daily labor's over. Yeah. And now you're done. You're on the bus, and the day's over. No, now start crunching those numbers.
Yep. Right.
It's a fucking hard job.
So be nice to merch people.
So be nice. You know what?
Don't lurk.
Because it makes you feel good to be nice to people. Oh. And on the subject of
the Segway Captain.
Oh, my God. That was so
good. That was smooth, man.
It's like I've done this 2 times before this one. we're going to get into it. Feeling good with Duddy. We like to talk about things that make us feel good. And today, the subject is going to be live your best life. And not... like you're thinking, like live your best life. Don't live a life to make other people think you're cool or live to do something to try to be somebody else. You're not in competition with anybody else. You're really only in competition with yourself to be better than you were yesterday. As long as you are better today than you were yesterday, I think that's kind of the goal, to keep taking these steps. And my brother had a great line he told me today that was, impress yourself. I think most people are concerned with impressing other people. And they're doing things because they're thinking, if I do this, this person will think I'm cool. Or if I do this, maybe I'll get some money or I'll get this cool car or whatever it is. But it's not, if I do this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I will be happy with myself. So I think live your best life, not someone else's, and be impressed with yourself. Because if you are truly impressed with yourself, if you're living so true that you are impressed with yourself, I'm guessing everyone else around you is probably going to be impressed with you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. We were talking on the last show about how you cannot lie to yourself.
You cannot.
That's kind of the recurring theme. Like, we live in Southern California, you guys. This is the land of competition. Everybody's looking at their neighbor and what they're doing or their friend on Instagram, and I wish I was in Tahoe or wherever they are. And we're just trying to bring it back down to you're not in competition with anyone in this world. You're just you. So like Duddy said, hey, just try to be a better you today. And if you do that every day, that one thing, try to be the best you today, every day will be great. You'll be happy with yourself. And that's the goal. Happy.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true. Absolutely. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Everything you're doing doesn't matter if at the end of the day you're not happy.
Yep. All the, you know, nothing. That's it.
It's just, you got to think that way. So don't think about, I need to get all these things so that I can be happy. No, you don't. At the end of the day, you just got to look at yourself and be like, am I happy with myself today, with what I did today? Do I feel like I'm a little better today than I was yesterday? Yeah, and that's probably going to make you happy with yourself, and that's going to make you be able to go and be happy and spread love to other people.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Share that feeling and attract the kind of people that you want around you, and you know, yep. It's kind of
that's
it
big.
Radiates.
That's it absolutely big. Radiates. If you're not competing with anyone, then you won't be hating on anyone. You won't be concerned with anyone else. You'll be concerned with yourself, and you'll be a positive person, and yeah. Other people will pick up on that immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I think it also goes into the type of work that you do too. You know, mm-hmm. if in all aspects, you know, if you're stoked on what you're doing, you're passionate about what you're doing, you're putting that little extra in it that gives it, you know, something that it normally wouldn't have
yeah,
if you were just kind of doing it without the passion or the feeling of mm-hmm. like I really enjoy this. You know. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, sure. I feel you. I mean, yeah, because I think, you know, with adding on to what you're saying, it's like, and I think people see through that. If you're doing something for an outcome that isn't because you're passionate and you love this and it makes you happy, if you're doing right. that, like, say, for instance, if you were a musician and you were in a band and you loved it when you were younger and now, you know, you're doing it just because it's your job, people kind of see through that, and it shows yeah. in your music even. 100%. Like older music, yeah, like some older sure. musicians. I won't name anyone. I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't even think of one. But you see it. Like the albums start to kind of lack. They're not, you know, you yeah. can just tell the performances become stale, and you're like, this is just a paycheck to you now.
Everyone right. starts playing music because they love it.
Yeah.
Like nobody picks up the guitar for the first time and goes, it's because I'm going to be a rock star. Now that you pick it up because you like music and you want to play your favorite song.
Yeah.
Eventually, right. at some point, you might get good enough where you can make it your living. And that's where it can get to the point where if you don't really love being a musician, it'll show
yeah.
in your music. But
right.
some people never lose that first time they picked up the guitar. You just right. love playing music or baseball or whatever it is so much.
I think that's the spirit of it, you know, mm-hmm. and that's... Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where, like, the spirit of whatever you're doing, if you're playing, if you're painting, you know, if it doesn't really matter. It's pretty.
It applies pretty, really pretty, to anything.
To anything, yeah.
Really
yeah.
anything.
And if you don't lose that spirit, you get that thing about it that just is the magic, you know. And I think people gravitate towards that. And at the end of the day, you know, you're doing it for yourself, and you're sharing, and yes. you're hoping that people recognize, or no, actually not even that. You're just sharing and hoping there might be somebody out there listening that goes, hey, man, I like that too.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. or with no expectation. I may be a little contradictive there, but with hoping someone looks, but listens. But at the same time, you know, you're doing stuff with a whole heart. You're doing it from that spirit of the song mm-hmm. or the spirit of the painting, you know, and you're moving forward from there and just kind of without the expectation, I guess, what I'm saying. What I was
and what
to
you're
say.
Saying, yeah, no, too, no. is I guess make sure you're writing songs that you like.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, anyone, yeah, some I'm sure there's a lot of musicians that, like, are doing it just for a job. And honestly, that's fine because not everybody can have their dream job. A lot of that's people true. Might be listening going, well, hey, I'm not a musician. It's easy to say yeah. or whatever.
Hey, but, if right. you found your niche and you're, you know, making some good money on it and, you know, it's really not your thing, but you're like, if I don't do this, I have to go, you know, do that. I'm not yep. going to like that either.
Right.
Yeah.
So I might
right.
as well do this because I'm good at it and I'm making some money. I get it. I'm not and hating then, at you.
Yeah. Right. Everyone, there's most people work a job they don't love or are passionate about. But what you do is you find the hobby, the thing right. that you are passionate about, and your job supports that.
Right.
Yeah.
Just yeah. do what makes you happy.
Well, then again, too, to kind of like to go back to what you were saying is just the being happy. It doesn't necessarily have to be a career either.
Yep.
You know, it's just in your day to day. Some things may be like, it may be like, I don't know. There's a million examples yeah. out there. Dude.
Too many.
Just some things out there that like your day-to-day little stuff, your interaction with people. Hey, how you doing? Starting a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the meet and greets when you're leaving to and from a store, whatever it may be.
Totally.
You know, those are small things that matter as well.
Absolutely.
And I think accumulate to, you know, putting the puzzle together of happiness. You
no,
know?
You know. And it all comes down to like two. Guess what, Jake? Feeling good.
Feeling good, man.
And
enjoy
on the subject
ride.
Of feeling good, with daddy, we're going to talk about our sponsors real quick, because on this show, we have a couple sponsors, and they are all things that make me feel good. And we are going to start off with whiskey. Whiskey makes me feel good. I love whiskey, and I love this whiskey, Proper 12. If you haven't tried this, go out and grab a bottle. I didn't try it till a few days ago. It was the first time I tried it, and I was so surprised. It's so good. It goes down so easy. It's actually kind of scary how easy it is to take a shot of it, and I'm going to prove that by taking a shot of it. Jake, while you pour those, I will continue the sponsor talk. Next, Koi CBD. I don't know if you've tried CBD products or not. I think a lot of people have a misconception about CBD, and they think they might get high. They think, oh, it's weed. You know, it comes from the hemp plant, and it is all natural, and it is. There's no psychoactive effects from it. You will not get high from this, but you will get help with pain relief, inflammation, and my favorite part of it is it's a mood enhancer for me. And it doesn't make me tired at all, but it definitely relaxes me and takes a little bit of stress off and edge off the day. I use it every single morning, like coffee now. I wake up, water, a little bit of CBD. I'm going to take some right now. And and I go about my day, and it feels great. KoiCBD.com. Go there right now. Check out all the cool products they have. And you go and you type in code DuddyB at checkout. Yeah, 20% off. Right then and there. Boom. Can't beat it. And it's delicious. KoiCBD.com. Check it out. And then next, last but not least, we have Sticky Vapes, another product I use daily. I always have one of these on me. I'm a busy guy, and if you know me, you know I like to get high. But I can't be running around all day just smelling like pot, like, you know, blasting bong tokes.
He does, but
my point is, this is great because it's small. Take a couple hits of it. There's not a lot of smoke flying around, and I don't smell like it, and it's great, and I don't have to make a big deal about smoking. So stickyvape.com, check them out. Great product, great people. Let's take this shot.
I took a sticky vape into a movie theater and just blasted out. Dude. Nobody said a word.
Cinematic adventure.
I enjoy it. It enhanced the adventure, no doubt. Red, are you in?
Well played.
Okay. The man's got to drive a bike.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
Daddy. Cheers, Bing.
You.
Okay, so moving along. I know you guys have played South by Southwest.
Yes, sir.
We have played South by Southwest. What a crazy little, like, situation that is. Like, you roll into town and you're like, whoa.
Dude.
You're not going to find a parking spot within 3 miles.
Nope.
And there is a band playing within every 20 feet.
Yep.
And I might be even a little off. It might be like every 10 feet. Close. It seems like there's a band playing. How was your experience with that?
Dude, that was a lifetime. Like, it was on the bucket list of shit to do, you know? And going down, first you got to kick it from the ride from here to Texas. Because I don't know how you did it, dude, but we legged it in the Ford Econoline 350 mint condition 2000, you know, just
woo, dude,
from here to there.
For those of you that don't know, California to Tech, I mean, it is just desert the whole, how many hours?
27.
27.
We've done this straight. Like, we had left at one point. Well, I'll get to that, but just the journey, man, from here to there is like, you got some time. You got some time.
Is it just me, or does it seem like you can drive through Texas for 3 days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. It is huge. It is huge. And just to get to El Paso, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but from like where we're situated and located, from here to like El Paso is like, if you kind of do the finger on the mark on the map thing where you're like, put one here, it's almost like you just made it to the edge of Texas, but then that's the same amount of time to get to the center of Texas, dude. You're like, that's a big state.
It's huge.
It's humongous.
And I think it's like a no tolerance state. So you're not even puffing tough in the van. You're driving through Texas.
Oh, yeah.
They had the dogs out and everything.
Yeah.
We just rolled through a little checkpoint somewhere. And you were already, I think you were already in Texas at that point.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, aren't we already in Texas? Okay, here's another. Just to make sure so you know.
Yeah. you thought you were all good.
They'll sniff you down, you go to Texas. Yeah, you'll get sniffed.
Definitely, like, certain checkpoints going into Texas, we know, as a band, like, we usually kind of get rid of a lot of those stuff before we go there.
Right.
I've heard nightmare stories from good friends of mine of just getting rolled for, like, for pretty much what you would think, like a little bit of pot and some bongs and things, right, like would have in a bag. Nothing crazy, you know? Nothing crazy. Just like your normal fucking people smoking pot stuff, right, and getting rolled like hard.
Yeah, man.
Tour over.
Yeah. You know? So we played South by Southwest. We did it like that, and same with you. I mean, this was a long time ago, and we did it same thing. We drove our van out there, and it was the endless drive. And we got there, and it was funny. And if anyone knows my manager, Cheese, and if you heard episode one, this will make fucking perfect sense to you. He gets there before us, and he's like, "Hey, I'm here, and I actually talked to the Hooters, and they're saving you guys a spot in the parking lot, and I'm here. They even saved me a spot for my camper in the parking lot, and I'm going to be waiting for you guys here."
Nice. So, talk about a solid location choice.
Right? Yeah. So he rolled in, and he's like, this is the spot.
Cool, man.
We fucking pull in the Hooters and park our van and trailer, and we roll in, and he has a buffet of food set up for us. And if you've ever been to Hooters, it was just a golden table. Every single thing was fried. It was a table of gold.
Yeah, they got eats there, dude. Texas don't play, man. They got some solid food. It was in the, what is it, Torchy's Tacos? And man, that spot, we ate there like three consecutive days just to try to go through the menu.
Yeah.
Because
trying to hit everything Torchy's had.
Man. I've never had it. So I think is that more like a Tex-Mex?
No, dude. It's just like they make these really great tacos and they'll like, I don't know. There's so many hybrids, dude. You just kind of like, you know, they have this wild menu.
That is amazing.
And their food is just flavorful. And even El Paso, that's probably where I had the best Tex-Mex, dude. When you went down there, you're like,
El Paso's got good food. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
You want to eat, you know.
You're just on the border.
Well, because you get used to food around here, you know, and you're like, okay, cool. And then you just kind of go, you make your way down there, and then you go into El Paso.
So,
dude, this place is great. Mm-hmm. So now this is like, okay, put that on the map for next time. Because we went twice. So it was like the first one was the cool learning experience, driving from here to there. We get into Texas, and we had kind of last minute it kind of thing. So we had like three shows booked the first time we went. And we go out there and we play the first show, play the second. During the second, somebody like recommended us to this bar. So we started like, after we played, we bar hopped and we were like, okay, let's go check out the downtown 6th Street, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And we end up going to party at, I think, Rustic Tap. So we end up cruising to Rustic Tap, and they're like, hey man, can we play?
And their shit was set up already. Like, we just play on that.
Like, yeah, they're like, you know how it goes. It's just it's a door to door, and they're like, yeah man, for sure, come back tomorrow at like, are you for real? They're like, yeah man, just come on back. So anyhow, we end up cruising back the next day. Got that show. They liked us, and they're like, hey man, you should try over here. So we walked over there after, tried that. So we ended up filling the whole like time we were there. It was like 5 days.
That's beautiful.
Back to back shows. But then the cool thing is we had met a few people. So the following year we did the pregame. We're like, okay, cool. We got this. We got a rhythm here, man. This is cool, right? So we end up calling out a few people, sending out the emails, doing the whole nine. And the next time we rode down there, it was epic, dude, because it was back to back shows. And I'm not sure with your experience, but we would play at like 12 o'clock and then you're set, you know, we do 45 an hour, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's loading it in. Like you said, with parking, there ain't no fucking place to park, dude.
No.
And we had the van and we ended up finding this like great little Airbnb to stay at, but it was still inside the like city.
Yeah.
So we couldn't park the van in the parking structure. So now we're going to Home Depot to padlock the motherfucker so nobody's crowbarring it open.
Terrifying.
You know, because all your gear's in there,
right? Your whole life is right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's a thing.
It is.
People's trailers just happen.
Yeah, dude.
It's happened to, I probably, like, eight bands that I know.
Yep, it's like, it's an epidemic.
It's always a sad moment when they fire that, you know.
That email. The
post. Oh, and you're like, dude. You know, heartfelt guitars are in there.
That
man,
happened to you guys.
Like,
that happened to you guys.
Our trailer got stolen from underneath my window at home.
Way.
The band, we were off tour. The trailer was parked underneath my window. I wake up the next morning and I look outside. I'm like,
something ain't right.
I'm like, wait, what? Rolled it out underneath my underneath me.
Oh no.
Heavy. Yeah.
Dude.
So yeah. Sorry to interrupt yeah. you.
No, man, no. I'll just take a moment for that.
Feeling good
hey,
with
return that shit. If you hear this podcast, bring that band gear back, dude. My man wants to fire
the cops
back
found
up.
It 2 years later.
Did they?
Straight yeah, up.
You know
dude.
What? Thumbs
the bass
up,
amp
man.
Was gone, but we got our merch back. Awesome. Thanks.
Too cool, man. Well, yeah, and you go, you know, you're trying to find a place to park, so then I kind of got a little mixed up there, but to get back to the show, anyhow, we ended up doing, we had booked it out to where we were doing back-to-back. So we started doing, you'd load in at 12, right? Got to figure out how to, you're parking in the middle of the street, somebody's out there, flashers on, all the crew's fucking hucking gear into the venue. You set up, you play, 45 minutes later, you tear down, and then it's all back in the fucking van.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're trucking, you know, maybe quarter of a mile, if that.
A couple blocks.
Yeah. But that couple blocks is a serious
nightmare.
Deal, right?
The worst.
Nightmare.
To the next venue, setting up, playing. And this happens for, you know, it's a grind, man.
It's a
you
grind.
Know, it's the marathon, you know.
Dude, much like we shined a light on the merch guys earlier in the show, this is another unseen part of the music experience,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And this kind of even ties back into just living your best life, because everything you see on Instagram is the band on stage, mid-jump, bass out, tongue out. You didn't fucking think about it. So four and a half hours, dude, nightmare.
Yeah.
Shit.
We had played that particular time. We played the Rustic Tap again. We went and seen them. So shout out to there. They have this rad sticker that says, "Where the fuck is Rustic Tap?"
Nice.
So we
apparently played, it's in Austin.
Yeah. So just so everyone
you
knows,
you fucked
right?
up the sticker now. But it's it's an honor. Heard the show.
So we played the Rustic Tap, and then we again threw everything back in the van, and then we were playing at the top of the Westin Hotel. So
oh, it's kind of tight.
It's really that's cool, but it's 30 stories up.
Here's the fucking other part you don't
right.
know about.
Right,
yes,
so
how did the gear get up there?
Dude, yeah. The coolest thing was, so we end up parking, we throw the stuff back in the gear back in the van, and then we end up going to the Westin. We park across the street, all hands on deck, everyone's out, you know, pulling the gear out. They take us to the service elevator, and dude, literally, we packed whatever was in the back of the van, got fit into the service elevator, ding, rooftop, and this place was a great place to fucking play, dude.
Yeah,
you're at
I
the
bet.
Top of the Westin, sunset's hitting,
oh,
dude.
I bet that view was
pool
awesome.
Party's happening, beer's flowing, music's pumping. It was a you know, then again too. Let's get back to that. Like, gotta love what you do, you know, and you got to do the busy work, you know, sometimes to get that paycheck, you know, that personal paycheck of like. Dude, I'm here playing, and this is a really cool thing. So I had to move some amps. I had to, you know, do some heavy lifting and all that stuff, you know, along
sometimes
the way.
Sometimes you
got
to do it, man.
So you got to love what you do.
It's
you
all worth it for that 45 minutes. Huh?
Oh,
when
man.
It's set up.
Yeah, it is.
Holy shit. It's like an MMA fighter says, like, all the time training sucks ass just
right.
so you can have that moment of glory at the end when you get to fight.
Yeah.
Everything else sucks, you know, and that's a lot of music industry is tough, hard work, but that time on stage usually
is there.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you've experienced that so many times.
Oh,
how does that, like, how has that progression been for you? Like, because you've started from where I'm at, you know, what we're doing, you know, just
the
grassroots,
grind.
The normal grind of playing as many shows, building fan base, so on and so forth.
You know what? It's like a long road, but there's so many steps along the way, and each step is like a full-on like accomplishment.
Yeah.
And when you do reach that, you get this moment of like, oh man, this is amazing. I've been wanting this for so long, but right when you get that, you realize, but I'm still so far away.
Ah.
I'm proud of myself, but I'm not where I want to be.
Right.
So then you keep going and you hit that next spot where because that's where you want to be. You're thinking that. And then you get there and you're like, I'm doing it. I'm where I wanted to be. And then like 2 days later, you're like, I'm happy and I'm proud of myself, but I'm not where I want to fucking be.
Right.
You know? And it's like, so it's like almost a long road of the same feelings, but it's a great feeling because I love what I'm doing, you know? And I do know that when it comes to music, I give it everything I have 100%. Because I love music so much and I respect music so much for what it does for this world, really.
Yeah.
I mean, people, it is their, and not for everyone, but right. for a lot of people, it's like their everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like I'm feeling really bummed and alone and depressed. Like I know what song and what album I'm listening to.
Right.
And that's for most people. Or I'm going on vacation. I know exactly what album I'm listening to.
Right.
And then also to hear a song you haven't heard in a long time. And it brings you back to like this memory and this moment from when you, yeah. and it makes you feel so good, you know, and it's like, and there's not a lot of things in this world that are just such a natural just thing that just happened, and it's like now it's just kind of it's huge, it's yeah. huge, and I love it, and I think that's why I'm able to do it this long and continue to want to be better at it, because I fucking love it.
Dude, that's a super inspiring, man. It's, yeah. it's great, like the passion that's there, and yeah, man, incredible.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
And thank you. I'm getting lots of words of yeah. wisdom here, no, man.
Yeah, I mean, because like, I mean, we literally talked about it. I mean, if at the end of the day, if you're not happy with yourself,
right.
then you're not going to fucking be happy. You're going to go out and be bummed. And it's like, you got to do what you love. So yeah, yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, I feel blessed every day that I get to do what I love. Yes. And the thing that I love doing makes other people feel good and be happy. And it's just yeah. like, that's like double win.
Dude, and it inspires. I mean, even being at the Cutlass booth and hanging out and just like, dude, we have fans that come up, you know, obviously, and
yeah.
you know many of them, and they're
honestly, some of the fans we have, I feel like are my friend, like a lot of them, because I see them so much. I see them everywhere, and it's like, hey, what's up? You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You guys have a unique fan base. It's almost like a Grateful Dead style thing where it's a lifestyle yeah. to be a Dirty Heads yeah, fan. It's absolutely. Not just I dig their songs. Yeah. It's like, oh no, I dress, I yeah. act, I feel. Yeah. So it's a vibe that you're putting
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and that being said, if you're a big Dirty Heads fan and you want to go be around a cool community of Dirty Heads, go check out the Wicked and Wiley on Facebook.
Yeah.
We didn't do this. We had nothing to do with this. They made their own fan page and they called it the Wicked and Wiley, and they built this amazing community that's gone so much further than just a community that talks about the Dirty Heads. They help each other mm-hmm. out, like they're yeah. family. They built this huge family kind of based around the Dirty Heads, but it's way bigger than that now. So if you're out yeah. there and you're a Dirty Heads fan and you're listening to this and you're looking for somewhere to go and like hang out with some like-minded people, go check out the Wicked and Wiley on Facebook. It's a pretty cool spot.
Yes, and I've had the pleasure of meeting a few of the Wicked and Wiley men, and they're just like super inviting conversation wise. You know, it's like you said, like-minded people, great community of, mm-hmm. of people that enjoy music, and super positive, man. They come, they're always they're at every show, and you know, I always meet actually a new one somewhere if I'm at the booth.
Oh, it's growing rapidly.
Or yeah. And then, you know, you're on the break time, grabbing a little bite to eat, and you're like, hey, what's up? You're in line. Okay, I'm going to grab a burger and a beer. And,
yeah.
you know, it's cool, man. It's cool. But with the South by Southwest stuff, man, is like you're saying, bands firing off every day, the experience of being on stage, man, there's nothing like that.
There's nothing. I had a special experience at South by Southwest. We played South by Southwest when I told you we drove the van that we did that. And I mean, literally, you know, we didn't hustle like you guys and go get ourselves extra shows because we're fucking lazy. But same thing, like it was like back-to-back couple shows. And each day, we were there like 2 days. And I think like each day we had like 3 shows, you know, and it was like crazy. It was insane. And like the first show's at noon and the last show's at like 2 a.m. You know, just you're like, okay, yeah, I'm playing at 2 a.m. tonight.
And for people that don't know, South by Southwest, it's big bands will play at like a bar.
They're, right. Well, at this not, time we yeah. weren't really a big band. We were still okay. like on. We were still like on the hustle, you know.
But and
we
even
were
playing. So, it'll yeah. be like Red Hot Chili right. Peppers are at like a 100 yeah, person totally. Bar. Yeah, that's totally. South by Southwest. Yeah. But they were doing 3 shows a day.
It's a huge platform, yeah. and like everyone's invited. Mm-hmm. And like he was saying, every 10 feet, every 25
oh,
feet,
because
these bars are back to back on certain places.
It's crazy.
And you hear some of the most talented people.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we were just cruising, and you'd see there was this dude that was just on the street. I mean, like, street musician performers, dude. And I'm like, you know, you stroll by, and you're like, he's out there just going to town. And you go, mm-hmm. fuck, dude, you know. The why best, aren't you on stage?
The best guitar player
right
you've
now,
ever seen,
you know,
is like, a hobo in, oh God, in Austin.
Sure. Yeah,
like, straight
man.
Up,
yeah.
on the corner, just yeah. ripping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ripping.
They're no joke.
No, yeah, it's true. It's totally true. But I actually, on a side note, I totally forgot about this because I was going to go into another story about South by Southwest. But when we did play there, so randomly, at that time, somewhere near then, like right before then, we had done a tour with Mishka. And first off, what an amazing group of fucking people. Like the nicest camp ever. And we had such a good time with them. And we're still in contact with some of them to this day. But their manager was... Matthew McConaughey, right? So just randomly because, God.
No way,
I'm going to say the wrong place, but...
whatever.
Mishka grew up somewhere along the lines of, like, Cancun or something like that, you
it
know?
It was like the... Virgin
Bahamas.
Island. Yes, the Bahamas.
It was like the Bahamas
somewhere.
Or something
yes.
like that. Like, that's where he lived, and it was something where he would every day play acoustically at this cool resort or whatever, and Matthew McConaughey happened to hear him and was like, I'm going to fucking start a record
we're
label and manage you, and he did. And so he put his contour, and they were great.
That's
and
cool,
so,
man.
You know, long story short, we're at South by Southwest, and we run into some of the guys from Mishka, and they're like, hey, Matthew McConaughey's coming out and hanging out tonight. You want to come with us? Well, fucking, of course
yeah.
I do.
No.
No-brainer, man.
Yeah. He's just and he was just the nicest, coolest, normal dude. It just felt like instant, like you're just hanging out with one of your boys. And then everywhere was closing down. And, you know, he goes upstairs to this bar that has this cool rooftop bar. And he's up there for about maybe 1 second. And he comes down and goes, oh, yeah, they're going to keep it open for me, you know. And we go up there. And they closed it everything down but left it open for us. And it was just like 10 of us, and we got to hang out on this rooftop in the middle of South by Southwest and just hang out with Matthew McConaughey and like smoke joints and drink with him. And Jared had him, one of his Jared's favorite movies, and one of mine too, I love it, is fucking Reign of Fire.
Right.
You guys seen that? It's such a great movie.
I'll do and Christian Bale, Matt McConaughey, Dragon.
Yeah.
Never
it's
heard
a
of
great
it.
Great movie. If you've never seen never Reign of Fire, go check out Reign of Fire. It's great. But Jared, by the end of the night, had Matthew McConaughey, like, in full character from that. What was his name in that?
Oh,
it was
no,
some
I don't
cool.
know, but it was him versus Bale, and they were both just psychotic. And
yeah,
that
it was awesome. Great movie. So, yeah, that was a South by Southwest super fucking fun story. But I had one other one. We weren't even playing, and this is one of those things that just sometimes spur the moment. Some crazy shit happens, and you're involved. And I was hanging out with Cheese again, our manager, and at this time, he was doing something with that watch company, Vestal. Mm-hmm. And it was out of nowhere, and it was like, he hit up me and Jared, and he's like, hey, tomorrow I'm flying in Vestal's private jet to Austin, and we're just going to hang out for the day and just walk around South by Southwest and do the thing and party, and then we're going to fly home that night on the private jet. You guys want to come? We're like, fuck it, we're in. So we go to South by Southwest. It was because it was Cheese's birthday. That's right. So we were going out there to do this for Cheese's birthday, and we go, and obviously, you know, private jet, that was super fun. We're partying on there, and we get there, and we go see a couple bands, and then we take Cheese to like the Boot Barn or whatever it was, some boot place there, and we bought him. And at this time, we didn't even have much money, and we like pulled out like the band card and bought him like $1,500 white snakeskin boots,
yeah,
you know. And he puts them on. He puts these white snakeskin boots on, and we go straight from there across the way. There was this big open dirt field, and there was a band playing, and it was kind of cool, you know. We're like, let's go watch this band, and it was like the Towers of London was the name of the band, and they're playing and the singer jumps off the stage and he's walking through the crowd doing his thing. And they're like a punk, like rock band, like super punk rock, you know? Yeah. And he's out there doing his fucking thing. And he walks like through, we're like in the kind of the back middle, just standing there. And he walks like right up to us. And Jared's standing there next to me. And he fucking like hits Jared's hat off of his head and then hits Jared's drink out of his hand.
No way.
And I don't know what he was thinking, but where, and it's me, Jared, and Cheese, and our two buddies from Vestal who are not small guys. And where we come from, if you knock my hat off my head and knock the drink out of my hand, that means you want to fight me. Whew. So what does Jared do? He fucking hits the guy right in the face. Yeah. And the whole band jumps off the stage. The show stops. They all run out. Their crew, obviously, the people from their merch, they all rush us. And we get into a full fucking brawl with like eight people in the middle of it. And it's like we're in a mosh pit circle brawling the fucking band. And we kind of beat the fuck out of these guys because we're not small guys and we're not afraid to fucking fight. Right. So we were like, let's go. And we're also not guys who were mad. So we fought for a little bit and they were actually cool guys. So we all got up and broke up and security and everything. And they, and we were like, yo, what the fuck? You know, like they were like, why'd you punch our singer? And we're like, well, duh, he hit his hat off and knocked his drink out. Them's are fighting words.
Right, right.
So we kind of squashed it instantly. We ended up going backstage with them right after that and having beers and, like, hanging out and, like, laughing about it. Like, it was – so it ended up being funny. And then from there, we went to – the last thing I remember from this day is then we go to a strip club, and I am, like, barely holding in, not throwing up. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm 24 or something, you know? Like, and I'm – just hammered, and I'm literally on the verge of throwing up, and I'm sitting there, and this girl comes and sits on my lap, and she starts to give me a lap dance, and I'm like, whoa, no, and she's just like, yeah, I bought you that, and I was in my head just going, I'm going to throw up on her. So I literally had to, mid lap dance, I picked her up and just pushed her on away and got up and I started walking to where I thought the bathroom was and the bathroom was not there. And then I realized it and I turned around and I just remember just being like, I don't know where the bath, and I just threw up fucking right there in the middle of the floor of the strip club. That's kind of the last thing I remember from that day. And I woke up at home.
I woke up at home. That's one of the most horrifying moments in life when you have to piss or you have to throw up and you think you found the bathroom and then you realize, because once you think you found the bathroom, like, your body says, oh, yeah, go.
Yeah.
And then it's not and it's over.
Too late.
You are now
late. You're on the clock.
That's over.
Yeah.
Damn. I knew the boot part of that story because I remember I did not know the rest of that.
Oh yeah.
That's insane.
There was actually for a long time there was like two videos online of the whole thing. They're not there anymore. Oh. Someone had it taken down. Because we've looked for it in like other little interviews this has come up and during it. We've like tried to find it.
Towers of London said, get that.
Yeah.
No, they would have left it. It sounds like they were all right guys.
Yeah, they weren't even bad dudes. Hey, you know what? I can respect nothing more than a little scuffle and you get back up and you're like, you know what? We're all good. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
We're
probably shouldn't have hit your hat.
You shouldn't have hit the fucking hat. You shouldn't have hit the 6'3 dude's hat off. Like, you know, like, Jared's not a small guy.
So, live your best life. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, feeling so live good. Your best life right
feeling
there.
Good with Duddy. You know what makes me feel good? Fucking punching people. No. Yeah, it doesn't. It makes me feel bad.
No.
But, so, on this show, we do a segment, and it's called One Time at Band Camp. You got something for us?
Oh, and this one time at band camp?
Nice intro.
That's the real deal.
I like how we never warn anyone that there's going to be. Duddy goes, hey, you got anything? And it's always someone's about to talk, and then, you know, shit happens.
And we're going to play that one time. And we're going to do that, and the guy's going to be like, no, I don't. And
what was that?
So, you know what? I don't think we're ever going to tell anyone because I love to see people's reaction. They're always like, whoa, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, right there. It happened.
As you tell that. To keep with the positive vibe, he complimented the little thing. So anyway.
Band camp, huh? Let's see. So anything like what?
Anything. Literally anything in particular.
something funny, something weird, something crazy, something scary.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Anything. I don't even, yeah, yeah. Don't even care. Just anything. It doesn't even have to be about being like on the road or anything, but just something that stands out to you from fucking anything.
Yeah, I got the road story. I think it was another time we ended up hopping in that Econoline, and we're doing a tour up to Colorado. So
love Colorado.
Great place. I'd visited my cousin there previously because he was going to Boulder State. So I spent like 2 weeks there. I'm like, man, this town is great. We got to come over here and play, you know? So figured out how to make all that happen. And we end up going, okay, cool. We're going to Colorado. And the deal is here is we're going to go like from here into Boulder. We're going to go down into Colorado, into Denver. And then we're going to move our way down to like Colorado Springs, just try to hit some shows along the way. And so everything, like all systems go, right? So my fucking bass player, Birdman, he's like, I'm going to fly over there. And I'll meet you there. So now it's just me, my guitar player and drummer, and my cousin at the time. And he's like, you're going back to Colorado? Free ride, dude. I'm rolling with you. Let's go.
He's no longer your cousin?
No, it's my cousin Thundercat, dude. He's the man.
Oh, he's still here. My cousin
he's
at
out
the
there
time.
Fucking, he was driving, dude.
We since broke up. He was my cousin at the time.
Wait. Thundercat?
Everyone's got a cool nickname, dude.
That's the coolest.
We were
nickname.
Just gonna go right past that, like you didn't. Mike, that was my cousin Thundercat.
Yeah, call him Thundercat.
That's man. A good name.
Oh, that's yeah, a man. Good one.
Nicknames, man. I think it just kind of runs in the family.
Yeah, I got stuck with Duddy at a young age, and I fucking never left.
Was that just gifted, or like?
I'm pretty sure it was my mom. I think it was just like a little name that my mom would call me, and like it just fucking stuck.
Fun to say.
Man, hey, man, you know, you don't pick the nickname. They just start calling you one day, and it sticks, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, anyways, we're like, cool, man. We're driving. We're taking shifts. We're cruising from here to Colorado. That's the goal. So we hop in the van, start making our way. We get into Utah, and it's like, man, pull over, dude. We got to fucking get out of this van for a while. It smells like fucking farts and beer. You're packed into a fucking Econoline with four dudes, you know, on a road trip. You're like, man, this is getting crusty. Pull over. We're going to hose off and, you know, fill up on good stuff and fucking roll out.
Doritos.
Road snacks, road sodas, whatever, you know. So anyhow, we get into, like, Utah, and my guitar player at the time was like, it was his turn to drive. So we pull out of the fucking gas station and we go to get on the freeway. And I'm like, I hop back in the van, hit the back seat, and like just fucking started to pass out because I'd been driving, right?
Yeah.
And so getting ready, just ready to fall asleep, dude. He hops we must have turned the corner to get up on the on ramp. And all of a sudden you hear boom. And I'm like, what's up? What just happened, dude? You know? So I go, dude, flip it around, just kind of back down safely and fucking go back to the gas station. We'll see, you know, we can pop the hood there and see what's up. At least we're by, you know, phone or whatever we need.
At least we're by a gas station.
We're by a gas station, right? So we end up cruising back, and sure enough, there was this fucking, like, little mechanic shop above the gas station. So I'm like, great, perfect. Fucking meant to be, dude. Let's roll it up there and see what they got going on. So sure enough, we roll up, pop, 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 and I thought it was a head gasket, you know, like for some reason the sound that I was making, I'm like, this kind of seems similar. Maybe it's just as simple as changing the gasket. We're up back on the road.
Yeah.
Shit's going to happen, right? So we pull up to the fucking the mechanic shop, and the guy like greets us outside. So it's like, cool, man. And he's like, yep. You blew a spark plug right out of the fucking cylinder, or the, you know, I'm mechanically not, you know, describing this correct. But anyways, the spark plug blew up. The back spark plug is gone now. So it's making this compression sound, dude, of like a jackhammer, like, right?
Yeah.
So I go, dude, we're a long way from home, obviously. All the gear's in the back. What do we do here? You know? We got to, like, tow this motherfucker back or rent a U-Haul, sell it to somebody here.
Yeah, what are
like,
we doing?
And he's like,
just live here? What
he's
are we
like, I don't know, man. I don't know how long this thing's going to run because now you're running on seven cylinders.
Ugh.
You know, and we're like, disconnect the injector so no fuel goes into the motor. Maybe, like, it's going to be loud. Run it till it stops running. And it was, like, the band decision. Like, are we going to charge, boys? Is this going to happen? You know? So they're like, if you can make it from here to Junction, Colorado, which was fucking 400 miles away, like, there's a Ford dealership over there. And they might be able to take care of this shit for you, right? Because you had to retap the spark plug. So sure enough, dude, we're like, thumbs up, let's go. Fucking hop on the road, and we hop on the highway. We're trucking.
Oh no!
And it's fucking
the hole.
And it's fucking loud, dude. The radio's turned up as loud as it can go, but you can still hear it. You know,
every car that's
mind
next to you, guys,
we're
just,
still
what the?
we're still far away from Colorado. We get, like, kind of down the road, and now I'm driving, and I look at the fucking gas tank, and they forgot to put gas in the fucking van, dude. Couldn't believe it. Last exit before we, like, because there's a median on, and you cannot do a fucking U-turn. And so there was a little gas station sign, and it was on the exit that we were coming up on. So I was like, here we go. We got no choice, you know. It's because we can't make it back to the gas station we came from. And it's God's country out there, man. It's no cell phones, nothing, you know, like some of those parts. Mm-hmm. So we pull off, and we make the left. And we go down this fucking two-lane road. And we're in Utah, somewhere in, you know. And all to the left, it's a two-lane road. It's those beautiful big, you know, mountains and stuff. But there's nothing out there. And I'm like, fuck, dude, where's this gas station at? Sure enough, dude. So we're trucking down the fucking road.
Oh, man. Do we turn back? Do we keep going?
Yeah, it was the hills have eyes,
thing,
dude. Like,
the whole thing.
It was one of those moments where you're like, fuck, oh, man, hey, this might not be
this
good
is getting
here,
real.
Man.
Bands get into these moments, too, man. You're in the hills sometimes.
You're
going,
in
the where
shit, the dude.
Fuck?
So we cruise up, and sure enough, we, like, crest this little hill, and there's a fucking town, man. And it's a small town. And it's one of those, like, post office, gas station, little liquor store. Nothing.
That's it.
Like, other roads. And it's like, there's one pump. And we pulled up to that one pump on that fucking gas station, and we're like, whew, we made it. Sigh of relief, right? Mind you, we've been all the way fucking down the road. And so they come out and they go, oh, man, this place, we go, we need to fill up the van. They go, cool. So they go, pump the gas, man, no worries. And then we'll tell you what you owe us. I'm like, this is really cool. This actually happened.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So we go pump the gas. Fuck it. Now we got to make it to Junction, Colorado. Say our thank yous. She's like, you can go down the back road and cut the highway and go this. And you see that face right there, dude?
The
it was the same thing. It was like, I don't know about that.
I've seen this movie.
Backtracker. Do we flip the coin, dude? You know? So we end up making our way back to the highway. We make it to fucking Junction, Colorado, pull into an auto zone, because from there we've done some research on how to fucking fix the thing. So we're like, oh, dude, we got this, right?
Yeah.
Go into auto zone. They don't have the right tools. Fucking put on over to Ford. They go, like, how is this thing still running? And we're like,
I don't know.
They're like, we can't fix it here. It's something that we don't have. We can't take care of it. So what do you guys want to do? And it's like, we're going to fucking Boulder, dude. We're making it to fucking Boulder by tonight. So we rode that fucking, we took that van and we fucking trucked all the way Boulder. So now we get into, like, the base of, we're going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my cousin fucking, he's like, I know this place, man. I'm driving from here. And you're like, all right, dude, take the wheel, man.
And this is
Thundercat, dude. Yeah, so he's like, he hops me on the wheel. Now we're fucking putting up the backside of the Rockies. Just figuring out, is it at any point in time, this van is about to just go, nah.
Yeah.
This ain't happening. It starts fucking snowing.
Perfect.
So now you got the van loaded down. It's running on 7 cylinders. So on and so forth. And we crest the hill. We made it to the top. Now we got to make our way down in the snow. Dude, we motor on down. We end up landing in Boulder. We get out. It's like 10 degrees. You know, it's frosty. And it's like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. We ain't doing shit. Yep. Time to start drinking. Mm-hmm. So we made that happen. Try to find the next part in there in that town. We couldn't find it. So it was like, now we're on this whole fucking tour. And we finish all the way to the last day with this fucking van running on 7 cylinders, right?
Wow.
So we end up crashing out at Bird's, my bass player's cousin's house. And they end up going doing something. We end up finding the fucking part. So me and Thundercat rip the engine out, or rip the dash apart to get to the where we needed to. We re-tapped the fucking spark plug, put in the spark plug, and we looked at each other, closed everything up, dude, and looked at each other like, you ready, dude? This is the fucking moment of truth. And fired right up, purrs like a fucking kitten.
Nice.
Never changed that spark plug to this day. And it runs like a champ, dude.
What's up, my man? Ford Economy. This is like a raging endorsement.
350, dude. So I was like, then you heard all the Ford jokes, and I was like, I don't know, man. Yeah. That thing got put through its paces. Then we ended up, we took the flat part home. We're like, we're coming down through Arizona, New Mexico, dude.
Much like a cowboy's horse, like a band's van, dude, it becomes an extra member of the van.
Oh, it's home.
Of the person. I mean,
yeah, man. Yeah.
100%. We had a green, like, family van that we took on every tour. Same thing.
Yep. You know,
all sorts
man.
Of issues, but we never got rid of it.
Dude, and for the, I mean, when we parked in Boulder for the entire night, everyone's just, the van's off, but everyone's hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was ticking like a jackhammer, dude, funny. For 15 hours straight, man. Yeah. Or, you know, however long. Into Boulder, so not too wild of a story, but it was just one of those enjoyable, like, wow, man, cool journey.
It hit the theme, though, man, because we really kind of pulled the curtain back on, like, the other side of the music thing, where, you know, 100, like, 3 different times, and that's another one, man. It's like, people don't know, it's like, you just see the band on stage, and that's always the absolute cream of the cream.
Right.
The creme de la creme, right there. Everything else can be sometimes a horrific struggle, dude, straight up. Man.
That's all part of the journey, too, man. Yeah. And that's the cool part, because you got all these rad stories, and, you know, and it's all fucking fueled with fire, man. You know, goes into a song, into a sound.
I remember having similar drives. All of us. That was pretty bad. But I remember having similar ones that you do that, and you drive for fucking 20 hours through the snow, through the mountains, you're in a van, you're doing it, and then you get to the fucking bar, and there's like 3 people there, and you're like, fucking, we are here.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and you put on a show of
and
a lifetime.
You fucking, you still like, play your ass off, because you're like, you know what? I'm going to play my ass off, because I just sat in that van for 20 hours,
and
I almost died 3 times.
I'm not about to miss the best part of the night, just because, you know, it sucked getting here. No, what it's for.
True.
And they get, you know, they get the rad shows, and people are stoked to see you, and at the same time, too, very fortunate and stoked, because I've seen a lot of things through being able to travel that if I did something different, I might not see some of those, you know, those places, you know?
And 100%. Yep.
That is one of the coolest things, where you're with your buds, dude. You're cruising. You're going, like, sometimes you're going, fuck, I don't know if we're going to make it.
Totally.
Sometimes you're going, like, we're here. Somehow, this is happening.
Somehow you, like, always make it. Like, somehow.
Yeah. A little, that little extra,
There's
man.
Been so many times where I was just like, there's no way we're going to fucking make this show. And then next thing you know, you're on stage and you're playing. And you're like, fucking, how did we make this?
Blink of an eye.
How did we make this happen?
Yep. But so I had never known some of those places existed until you drive through them and you go, like, whoa, dude. Yeah, cell phone don't work here. You just got you and your buds. You roll up into Texas or Colorado, and it's like, all you got is your friends, the guys you brought, because you know them, you're meeting, making new friends, you're experiencing, and then at the same time, you get to see the scenery, like, dude, Evergreen, Colorado.
It's the best part of touring is just seeing everything.
It's beautiful.
It's just different.
That place is, it's amazing.
It's insane.
And Red Rocks, and
oh,
I know,
come on,
dude, bucket list right there, of just, whoo!
It's something special, and it's
Did
funny,
you play?
Like,
I didn't. But when I got there the first time, I talked with, I knew a band that was playing. And the trip thing, we were like full circle. Mm-hmm. So I got introduced to John Butler Trio. Have you ever heard of those dudes?
Oh, yeah.
So one of my favorite guitar players, I'm like, man, like, I got to see this guy. And he had this video, which was Red Rocks, live at Red Rocks. He played Oceans. And it's just this really great guitar instrumental that's happening. And I used to, like, prodge on that video. I'm like, man, this is really cool. And I got to go to this fucking place. Mm-hmm. I got to see what this place is all about. First time I flew into Colorado, I went to visit my cousin. He had the first week off. The second week, he was like, here's the keys, dude. Like, go have fun. So I had my guitar, and I just went and started going to breweries and open mic nights, just, like, showing up, playing stuff that I had, you know, written and introducing and, make, you know, meeting people. And then the last day, the Saturday that I was there, I was flying out on Sunday, buddy's band was playing Red Rocks, dude, and they're like, hey, come, we got you a ticket, dude, we heard you're here. I'm like, no way, this is real.
Perfect.
Cool, man. So I get there, I think I'm just getting a general admission ticket. Next thing you know, I'm like, I'm on the side of the stage, and then just seeing the packed house, and you're like, whoa, dude.
It's nuts. Yeah, it's Red nuts. Rocks.
What a perspective, man, and an experience, and spiritual, like, woo.
Oh, that, yeah, there's no feeling
there's
like
an atmosphere there. Yeah. There's an energy.
There really is. Like, it's a special
incredible
place.
Man.
Yeah. We get asked all so many interviews, like, what's your favorite place to play? And it's just every time you're like, it's Red Rocks.
Just
like,
hands down,
it's Red Rocks, you know? There is something really cool about that place. And like you said, like, the perspective, you know, from the fans is amazing. But the perspective for, the bands, the people on stage is pretty amazing, too. And the way that the seats are set up, which are just, they're not really seats. They're just benches
natural.
Built into the fucking rock. And it goes pretty steep up. So at night, when it's all, you know, dark, and everyone has their phones out and stuff, it just looks like a wall of stars,
yeah.
pretty mm-hmm. much. That's yeah. what the fan, like, the people, it just looks like you're just in fucking outer space, and there's these huge red rocks, and there's stars everywhere, and there's really no way to match it. If you've never seen a concert at Red Rocks, I highly recommend to look up when your favorite band is playing Red Rocks, and go see your favorite band at Red Rocks
yeah,
and just have a fucking
yeah,
experience.
Enjoy that ride, man.
Yeah. Whew. And on that note, you know, that would make you feel good if you did that.
Legendary cut, man.
You know, that was a great show, dude. Red, thanks for coming.
Dude, thank you for having me.
Fucking
you know, much
always a pleasure talking to you, man. And, yeah. That's Feeling Good with Duddy. Thank you guys, as always, for stopping by. And I hope after you listen to this, you feel a little better.
And go check out Poor Man's Change.
PoorMansChange.com. Check it out.